On the 26th of December 1980, two men stood guard outside the twin U.S. Air Force bases of Bentwater and Woodbridge. Airman First Class John Burroughs and Staff Sergeant Bud Stevens had seen some strange lights over the nearby Rendlesham Forest. Sergeant Jim Peniston and Burroughs went to go investigate the strange lights seen above and then in the forest. As they got deeper and deeper into the woods, the wildlife became more active. It was like the wildlife was warning them not to go any further into the woods. As they got closer, the light became brighter until they were at a clearing where they saw a craft of some sorts. As Burroughs and Peniston stood there looking at what they could only identify as a UFO, a loud buzzing noise began emanating from the craft. Peniston noted details that made the craft seem even more alien than just bright lights. Its surface had no marks of it being made like rivets or screws, and had a strange, almost hieroglyphic-like writing system on the craft. After what seemed like hours of staring at the craft, Peniston got the sudden urge to walk up and then touch the craft. When he did so, everything went black, and when Burroughs and Peniston woke up, they had almost 2 hours of unaccounted for time. When they got back to the base, they were told to go to their active base commander's office, who told them to forget everything they saw. However, they couldn't, so later that day, Peniston went back to the site and made plaster molds of what looked like landing gear, which were never seen again. The next night on the 27th, Colonel Holt, who was the active duty base commander at the time, but not the same one as the previous night, had heard rumors all day that some sort of unidentified craft had been flying over the base the previous night. While enjoying his dinner, an airman walked up to Holt and told him the craft was back. This time he made sure the base was prepared. He went out with a team that had floodlights, cameras, and Geiger counters to measure the radiation levels. This team made their way to the spot where the craft had landed the previous night. They examined many of the trees and other spots in the area. Most of the area affected had what looked like radiation burns. Also, none of their floodlights or cameras would work in that area of the forest. Then one of the men saw the craft over a field. For 45 minutes, they watched the craft dance and spray beams of light throughout the sky. The next day, agents from OSI or the Office of Special Intelligence came to the base. These agents forced men like Peniston and Holt to sign pre-written statements saying that it was a local lighthouse they saw, not a UFO. However, some of these men came out and told the supposed truth. Next up, we're going to discuss the aftermath of this case. To start off with, 11 years after the incident, John Burroughs broke the story to the public for the first time under an assumed name. He wrote a column for a local British newspaper explaining what had happened that fateful night. This story became a national craze and made Rendlesham a household name. Next, Jim Peniston felt that he could come out and tell his side of the story, so he was interviewed by a popular magazine. After leaving the UK and returning to the United States, Peniston claimed that he was harassed and threatened by who he believed to be agents of the OSI. He said that he would come home from work at an Air Force base in Indiana, and his answering machine would be filled with threats to him and his family. He claims that this still goes on to this day. Peniston struggled with his experiences in the Rendlesham Forest and wanted to go further and figure out what really happened with his lost time. Peniston, although reluctant, agreed to regression hypnosis, which is where a trained psychologist helps lead a person through their own memories. It is said that it can help deal with repressed memories. However, there are some problems with it, like the fact that memories can be false, either being implanted by the psychologist, or a different memory entirely. However, Peniston claims that through regression hypnosis, that he was in fact abducted by aliens, and that they warned him of humanity's impending doom. The story that Peniston told was eerily similar to that of a TV special about an alien abduction. Throughout the years, Peniston has told his story at numerous events and conferences. Here's one of those events where Peniston spoke about the Rendlesham Forest incident.
When we arrived to the suspected crash site, it quickly became apparent that we were not dealing with a plane crash, or for that matter, anything else we've ever responded to. There was a bright light emanating from an object on the forest floor. As we approached it on foot, a silhouetted triangular craft about 9 feet long, 6.5 feet high, came into view. The craft was fully intact and sitting in a small clearing just inside the woods. As the three of us got closer to the craft, we started experiencing radio difficulties. I then asked Airman Kabansak to relay the radio transmissions back to our control center, act as a relay. Burroughs and I proceeded towards the craft. When we came up on the triangular-shaped craft, there were blue and yellow lights swirling around the exterior as though they were part of the surface. The air around us was electrically charged, and we could feel it on our clothes, our skin, and our hair. Nothing in my training prepared me for what I was witnessing. After 10 minutes without any apparent aggression, I determined the craft was non-hostile to my team and to the base. Following the security protocols, we completed a thorough on-site investigation. This included a full physical examination of the craft, which included photographs and my notebook entries that I had at the time, and relays with the radio through Airman Kabanzak to our control center. Those were required. On one side of the craft, there were symbols that measured 3 inches high, and they're approximately about 2.5 feet long.
These symbols were pictorial in design. The largest symbol was a triangle and was centered in the middle of the others. These symbols were etched in the surface of the craft, which was warm to the touch. Even though it looked like black onyx, it felt like metal.
The feeling I had during the encounter was like no type of aircraft that I've ever seen before. It was in the Jane's book of known aircraft or anything I've seen since. After roughly about 45 minutes, the light from the craft began to intensify. Burroughs and I then took a defensive position away from the craft as it lifted off the ground without any noise or air disturbance. It maneuvered through the trees and shot off at an unbelievable.
However, throughout the years, his story has had slight alterations, like the amount of time that he had missing and what time the event took place. Because of these discrepancies, skeptics like Ian Ridpath have tried to debunk Peniston's claims. One of the most compelling pieces of evidence against Peniston is his own logbook. He wrote down the night's events in chronological order, except the fact that the day is wrong. It's supposed to happen on the 26th, not on the 27th, as in the logbook. As well as the time is supposed to be midnight when the craft is spotted, however, in the logbook, it was first reported at 3 a.m. These small differences shed doubt on the whole validity of this event. However, with the amount of witnesses and the quality of witnesses like Colonel Holt, it does seem like something did happen in the Rendlesham Forest on those cold December nights. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Case Files here on 91.3 WHJE.